grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Dak, 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 Dak. Welcome back, Chris Fowley.
Thank you.
To the BFM studio. Looking nice and chipper, mate. Looking rested. I saw you on a kayak out there.
Oh, you know, you've got to try and get the most of summer while you can, eh?
I actually meant to kayak. And so when I saw you on a kayak and I was at my desk, felt like a bit of a twerp, I've got to say.
Sometime.
I didn't get around to it. I don't.
We'll go out this weekend, eh?
BYO kayak.
I've got a spare one for you. How about that?
Holy shit, Sticks. Where do you go?
Oh,
mangrove areas?
You know, reveal too much on air.
It's not a surf spot.
That's how it goes, isn't it? I've heard the surf report. He never says anything.
Chris, can I also...
It looks so relaxing. Like, it's so rewarding. It's just like a couple of pushes and you're off.
That's right. Love
Chris,
it.
Just quickly, I touched base and you were out on your bike last week. Where'd you go?
Yeah, Hauraki Bike Trail. That was very nice, I've got to say. Rated as the easiest bike trail in the country. So
sign me up.
Thought I'd start with an easy one.
And an e-bike as well.
And an e-bike. And I've got to say, when your e-bike tells you, which my one does, this will do 55 kilometres, and you think, oh yeah, that should get me into work and back. Well, it doesn't get me into work and back, but I have to charge it. But This it will get you 55 k's if you have it only set to 20% power and are on a bike trail that is perfectly flat along the railway lines.
It probably depends.
Then you'll get your 55 k's, which is exactly what it did.
It must come down to the kgs and everything.
That, Great
scenery. Great scenery down that way.
Beautiful, especially through the Karangahaki Gorge. Beautiful spot. Love
so
it. Love it. So hot though. Too hot.
Yeah, it's been quite dank. Quite dank.
So I'd recommend it anyway.
Okay.
Not too crowded. It's good.
Very nice.
It's very good. Nothing to do with weed, but you know, I'm sure there's a bit around there. But Waikino, where you go through, that is, you know, one of those places where they're always said. But if you do stop at the pub, at the Waikino pub, you know, so they say, nudge, nudge.
Okay, cool. That's good to know.
I didn't say that.
I didn't hear that.
Good.
What pub?
We're on air now.
We've got a text about homebrew. I won't be reading that homebrew text out. This is cannabis chat right now. And actually, to that point, somebody's been busted, sort of growing quite a lot of DAC down there.
353 plants. Is it commercial operation? 353.
What do you
know? Well, this is the thing. So here we are off to a new start, and everyone's kind of heard, oh, well, we didn't pass the referendum, but apparently it's decrimmed anyway. Or is it? But the police are tolerating it, apparently. Mm. Or are they? We don't quite know, right? And that's the problem with tolerance. Well, turns out if you've turned your whole house into growing weed, that they don't tolerate that. So we at least know there's a line there. And these young guys, they were just young guys, and it seems from the media they didn't even get a harvest. So they've just started growing straight away. The police got wind of it straight away as soon as they moved in, and they've just gone in and done them. And so these calculations that are in the coverage are theoretical. They're saying it's almost 500,000. Well, that's per year.
Oh, is that if it grows?
If they keep growing, and if they sell all of it, and if they sell all of it in tinnies for top dollar.
This is how
these calculations work. Whenever you hear these massive numbers, which of course the media love, $500,000 grow, rah, rah, rah. Mm. But what they'll do is work out what your potential if everything runs perfect. And usually it's all just inflated at every step.
Yeah.
And then it's all sold as tinnies at $25 for half a gram.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah, so in reality...
That's crazy.
So
the plants weren't even budding or anything, and they...
That's what it seems like from the media. So, you know, I don't have direct knowledge of the case. I haven't read the summary facts. But just from these media reports that we were just going through, that's what it seems like, that it was the bust before the harvest.
That's out of it, that they can still
harvest.
Sting for it. And
well,
just
that's the burden of proof that our drug laws take.
It's like the Duckworth system in cricket. I can't get behind it.
It's even worse. And I mean, like for example, you know, there's this well-known concept in regular criminal law of show me the body, whatever the Latin is, I can't quite remember, and someone will probably text it in. And it's a bit like, well, you know, if you're accused of murder, there's got to be an actual body, but you have to link the two together. You got to prove, it's not just enough to be standing next to them or whatever it is. You've got to prove it happened. But with drugs, it isn't. You're next to it, it's yours, that's it. And the burden of proof comes back on you as the defendant, and the police don't have to prove anything. And so what ends up happening is there's a lot of shonky kind of half-assed evidence that actually isn't often when
plastic
people
bags
contest it.
Just willy-nilly. Oh, yeah, this, you can put weed in that. There's a weed. That's a weed container. Kind
of thing. So it's all very circumstantial. And then if people contest it, then the case collapses. And so it actually does a disservice to the police because they often end up going to court with very weak cases because they're not compelled to gather the evidence. So that would be one thing, actually, that looking through to what we might be able to achieve this year, that was something that the Law Commission, way back in 2011, when under the previous Labor government, Helen Clark, in the final kind of part of that term, she set up a Law Commission review of the Misuse of Drugs Act, reported under the next, under John Key, it came back, 2011, and it said, get rid of the Misuse of Drugs Act completely. And in particular, they looked at that burden of proof and said, you know, as courts have ruled, this actually breaches our Bill of Rights.
Right.
It breaches, and even if we didn't have a Bill of Rights, it breaches a fundamental concept of justice.
And
in no other laws on our books are like that. This is the only one where you're guilty until proven innocent. And so they said, you know, we've got to get rid of that, but get rid of the whole act. And these arbitrary numbers that they're put in, I mean, with cannabis, it's 10 plants. Or growing, or 1 ounce on your possession. Mm. So how you could have 9 plants, you know, and then only have less than 1 ounce. So those sort of things, people get caught up with that. As soon as they harvest their one plant, they got more than 1 ounce.
Yes.
But you have more than 1 ounce, you're presumed to be dealing, and it's up to you to prove that you weren't.
Right.
You know, which is just incredible. Or it's 100 cigarettes. That's the other presumption. So my advice is
always
wrap your herb in very large sheets of paper. Don't forget to twist them at the end.
You sell those massive papers at the...
yeah, they're called the newspaper.
Yeah,
the Herald.
Crazy.
Yeah, you just wrap them in that.
No, those drawers that are like huge as fuck. They're like...
I'd go bigger.
They're like A4.
Chris, just going back to this chap who's been busted with the 353 plants. Say weed this year got decriminalised in New Zealand. Would he still get jail time?
I can't remember under certainly the referendum bill whether the unlicensed grow was jail or a fine. I can't quite remember off the top of my head, but certainly that would remain an offence if you didn't have a licence, but also there would have been a pathway for that group, which they're calling a syndicate, of course. It's a drug syndicate.
You can get a licence to grow
if the referendum had passed. And in fact, there was 20% of the market set aside for small people to be able to, you know, in particular ones that are doing it for non-profit reasons and things like that. There was a bit of the market set aside, a minimum of 20%. They would have been able to get a license, but unfortunately, instead, they're going to jail.
It would be fun to try and prove that your 300 and whatever plants are purely for yourself. But can I just recommend that you just go with the 3 at the end of that number? That's probably enough for one person. Everyone out there, you know, like, that's enough babies
keep
to take care
simple.
Of.
Yeah.
How?
Keep it simple.
I mean, what's the medium for selling cannabis in a system that's been decriminalised? Is there an actual retail spot?
Facebook Marketplace,
well, if it's
I think.
Decriminalised and there isn't a proper one, you might have a grey zone and an illicit market that's quite obvious.
How
you know,
that,
for
I mean,
example,
how does it
Amsterdam
work
is only decriminalised, right? But yet there are shops, right? So you can, but they're not licensed. So or they're unofficially licensed, or you know, the supply, what they call the back door, is not controlled in Amsterdam. So the front door is licensed and the back door isn't, and that means the back door tends to be run by criminals and things. So it's not the best way to do it.
I read somewhere that the growers aren't actually even allowed to grow as much as they grow. It's
weird
grey area.
Yeah, they keep going backwards
for a long time.
It has for a long time. And in fact, just this week, the mayor of Amsterdam, who tends to be, well, you know, like all places, they alternate between liberal and conservative.
Mm.
And when they go conservative, they tend to go very religio-conservative. Mm. And that's, I think, what it sounds like the current one is. And so he's saying, the mayor, that he wants to bring back this proposal for the weed pass, which is a law that came on the books about 10 years ago in the Netherlands, but it's only been invoked in a couple of places. Amsterdam has refused to do it the whole time. And what this weed pass is basically a form of ID that says you're a local and you're Dutch, and if you don't have it, you can't go in the coffee shop. So it was really about trying to reduce tourism into it. But most of those cities rely on the tourism, and they realise that people that come over there for a bit of weed are actually good tourists. It's the people that come over there for the prostitution and the other drugs and the getting drunk. They're the bad tourists.
Mm.
So that the local cities have never wanted to do this weed pass.
Mm.
And in fact, even though it is on the books, Netherlands has since then, in the last couple of years, they're, it's only just coming in, they've brought in a national experiment to properly legalise and regulate the production of cannabis. This has never been the case in the Netherlands. Yeah. It's always been unofficial and grey zone. And there's 10 licences have been given out. People had to do a bidding round and kind of say what the good things they were going to do and what great kind of companies they were going to be about doing good things in their communities. And they gave it to the best ones. And that's all starting to roll out. But they haven't rescinded this weed pass in the meantime. So it's like a thing that has stayed on the books but has never been used. And now this mayor is talking about doing it.
Okay.
But probably, in my experience of all these announcements from Holland, is that they just talk. And in particular, they're aimed at the foreign media so that, just like here, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And then people, not that we're travelling at the moment, but imagine that we were. And then we would go, oh, we're not going to take our weedy holiday to Amsterdam anymore. So it's really just about being reported overseas. And then they don't actually do it.
It's interesting that they would want to do that to their fucking massive point of interest, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's mostly to keep the German and French governments
because they're
off
on
their
the
back.
Borders, aren't they, with these places? That's why we get a lot of German people coming over, just getting some DAC and going home. And I guess the problem here is local Dutch people are going to end up being a little in between people to go into the coffee shop for their German
friends.
That's
what people say. Yeah. They just put a T-shirt on saying "I buy weed for foreigners" and just hang around the door.
Yeah.
Mm.
I actually had a shop in Utrecht that wouldn't initially sell to me. But I sort of lived there for a few months.
You got that kind of Viking look to you though, man.
They just went kind of, it was a real low key shop. It wasn't like a loud one, you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
It was like, and after a couple of weeks, they were like, oh yeah, here you go, kind of thing. I just sort of kept walking past. It was so close.
I'm cool, man. I'm cool.
Honest.
Just keep standing upright.
Yeah. So anyway, back to that Law Commission report, though. That is definitely one thing that the government could certainly do. And the entire time that Labour were in the opposition under the key government, they said that they wanted to revisit that and rescind MODA. And that is officially Labour policy right now, is to get rid of the Misuse of Drugs Act, otherwise known as MODA, and follow this Law Commission. And Labour policy is to do all of the parts of the Law Commission report, all of their recommendations. And so this presumption of supply that breaches our Bill of Rights, completely rescinding the Misuse of Drugs Act. The pill testing that came in just before Christmas, that was in there too, and that Law Commission thing, so tick, they've done one of them. And that was really cool, in fact, to show how quickly they could do it, right?
Yeah,
they
right
just
on
said, we're going to do it,
they
did it.
If they want to do something, totally. I'd be interesting to hear if anybody actually did get their gear tested at any of the festivals. It was available?
Apparently, yes. There was loads of rubbish around the summer.
Yeah, I did hear.
Yeah, loads
but
of rubbish.
Because we're testing as well,
and
right?
One of the issues there, one of the issues that Know Your Stuff, who are the organisation doing it, and this law that went through, it said you get gazetted by the Director General of Health, Ashley Blomfield, gives you a little, you know, certification, and they did that. They did that before Christmas, so Know Your Stuff are all properly authorised to do this, and it lets them do the testings like legally, so they're not in a grey zone, and it lets them legally possess it, so that they're people aren't kind of at legal risk, and it lets them give it back, which is really, like, I think that's maybe unique in the world. It's really quite incredible that the government has issued this license or permit that lets them do that. One of the issues is without the resourcing, they're limited in where they can be. And I don't want to speak for them, I'm just saying what we've read in the media, that they're limited in the number of festivals they can be at, and the risk there is that the dodgy people hear where they're not going to be and they flood those ones. Certainly Rhythm and Vines were publicly saying they're not going to be at our one, and they were the only festival to say in advance that they weren't going to be there. And lo and behold, they had a lot of problematic drugs there, from all reports, right? And there were people all in these media reports saying how there was one guy saying that it turned out it was a cathinone. He took it three nights in a row. It was only in the third night when he was the three nights of, you know, cramping and retching and horribleness. On the third night, he realized it was what he might have been taking.
My stretches aren't working like they used to. What the fuck?
Yeah, so be careful out there and get your stuff tested. And of course, up at the hemp store, we've had a new shipment come in of the reagents. We had a big rush on them.
At
Cosmic have got reagents too.
Tests of them as well. They're not like one-time tests, are they?
No. The easy tests that Cosmic sells, they are single ones, I think. We do the Dance Safe ones, which cost you a little bit more, but they do up to 100 tests.
That's
great. And there's eight different reagents.
Really,
so if you get all of them or a few of them, you can, through a process of elimination,
get
a bit more information. But they are limited. They're not a proper test. Ideally, you'd be going to Know Your Stuff and getting it properly tested.
Do you need to be like a pool doctor to do it? Or can you just... It's just like doing testing the pH of the pool. How does it work?
It is a bit like that. Mm. Yeah. But you know, the substance itself, the reagents, you just got to be careful with them. You don't want to get them on your skin or clothes.
Can I take it after I've tested it, the little bit that I've tested?
No.
What if I do?
I don't think that would be good for you.
Trip to the doctor.
A trip, yeah. You say? Okay. All right, Chris, we should probably go out on that fucked up little comment that I said.
I reckon.
We'll catch you next week.
I'm doing all our good work.
Thanks, mate.
Stay safe out there.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.